Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is as Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I'm going to focus more in on verse 46, your brothers and sisters in Christ. This day we began our service with the reading of the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, the John 12 account. I noticed as everybody was coming in, no one were taking palm fronds this morning. It is Palm Sunday. I also know that the liturgical calendar has added to Palm Sunday the Passion of Our Lord Sunday. And so we have two things jammed together into one, and it to me is quite frustrating. Palm Sunday should be a Sunday all its own. Historically, I got into the study of this more than I care. You know how nerdy I can be. And because I started reading some posts or some articles where people were saying the reason that the church has put the Passion reading, and we read the shorter version today. If you would have liked, we could have read the longer one, which is twice as long. As well as our gospel, our Palm Sunday procession that occurred today. This happened in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1982. It is a response to the Roman Catholics' Vatican II reforms of the lectionary that occurred in 1969. What they did is they followed suit. The struggle I have with this is you can go back as far as the 9th century in the church, and the Passion of our Lord was read the Sunday before Palm Sunday, making last week and this week Passion Sundays of our Lord, and Palm Sunday its own Sunday. In fact, there is evidence that takes that back to the 4th century. So why the change? Well, I guess because we have to keep up with the Joneses. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I decided for a change that we would look at this Passion Sunday account. But I don't want to skip too quickly there. For this cry of the people, the song of the children this morning, Hosanna, loud Hosannas, we sang. Hosanna echoes back all the way to Psalms. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save us, we pray, O Lord. In Hebrew, Yahweh Heshanah. Hosanna. And yet this morning we quickly move from palms to passion. It feels like our hosannas are fading away all too quickly. So we begin, this week begins then the most, well, earth-shattering week of the year, one that changes all time, all history. The cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the center point whose importance cannot be overstated either for Christ or for us. Since the fall, death established a harsh reality, especially the death of crucifixion. Roman soldiers carried out their crucifixion duties with grim efficiency. This method of execution inflicted on its victims offered a maximum amount of pain, both physically and emotionally, as the victims would slowly suffocate, while at the same time leaving the victims a minimal amount of dignity. Naked, basically, hanging on a cross and placed into the entry areas coming into the city, giving that lovely message of, if you mess up, you'll be here too. The death of Jesus stands out as a particularly cold and hard reality. Of course, he suffered all the physical pain and mental anguish that any crucified man would. In addition, though, Jesus was dying as the Lamb of God. He bore the sins of the entire world. He bore every last sin we confess this morning. He even cried out that God had forsaken him as he prayed Psalm 22. And he fulfills what he is praying at the same time. His death was a cold and hard reality, all right, down to its very last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With the Son of God, the light of the world, nailed to the cross, even the light of the sun fails. And there is darkness over the whole earth. The great curtain in the temple torn from top to bottom. As the mercy seat of God in the Holy of Holies is moved from the temple to the cross, where the blood of the Lamb of God covers all sin. Jesus, in the words of the Jewish child bedtime prayer, Psalm 31, calls out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And with that, Jesus breathes his last. And all of this took place by the will of the Father, who kills and makes alive, who wounds and heals, as we heard in our Deuteronomy text. So Jesus' first words from the cross and his last words from the cross are all directed at his Father, assuring full atonement and forgiveness for all who believe in him. This same message Jesus taught us. Well, he taught his disciples and then they taught us. They had gone to him and they asked him, "Teach us how to pray." And so he concludes the Lord's Prayer with, "But deliver us from evil." In the Catechism, we learn that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possession and reputation. And finally, when our last hour come, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. This is an all-embracing inclusion to the Lord's Prayer. The modern world, however, has made a closer association between religion on the one hand, and sentiment and emotion on the other. From deep feelings, people think springs deep religious conviction. I feel, therefore I am. Lord have mercy. Till today, many holds that religion goes with emotions like brats and beer go together at a tailgate party. And those feelings are almost sacred when it comes to the religious realm. Feelings can govern everything from how people read the Bible to how they conduct themselves in public and in private. So far as the old Adam is concerned, emotion and sentiment have shown themselves to be God's best allies in this world. Far more potent than the old dry biblical truths and emotionless sacraments that don't change based upon how we feel about them. The Germans used to have a word for that. It's called Schwärmerei. Over the years, religion as feelings has led people to lose the reality of God. They have found that you could keep the sort of emotions that had come to be associated with God even if you had no use for God himself. Especially one who requires his son's death to redeem all mankind. And for those brought to faith to live each day in Jesus' death and resurrection, well, they want you to seek your feeling, your emotion, your desire, your wants, rather than to submit to God and to receive his gifts. How many times have you heard something like this in a sermon? So let's ask, what substitutes have you made for the Lord God in an effort to feel good about one thing or another? Is it work? Is it play? Is it your busy schedule that overwhelms you enough to share with everybody? Is it your solitude? Or is it the group of friends you hang around? Is it how everybody looks at you and makes you feel happy or sad? Think about what emotional feeling have you replaced God with that you desire more than God at all? This amounts to a sad story, a story of unbelief. None of us truly stand immune to this temptation. And all of us must repent of it. Remember, Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer, He gave us the Lord's Prayer to fight against such unbelief. And nowhere does this battle rage more than in the prayer summary petition, "But deliver us from evil." So Jesus gives us the example, as His own prayer from the cross is quite similar. "Father, into your hands I commit myself. I commit my spirit." Jesus said this right before He died. What He said was not a feeling or a wish. It's fact. For His part, God the Father was not merely going to feel good about Jesus or wish Him well in some vague way. He was going to receive Jesus, accept His sacrifice, and raise Him from the dead on the third day, just as He had promised. Christ Jesus alone had been obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. And yet this is not emotions. It's real truth. We can base our eternity on this fact. It won't change. It doesn't shift. It doesn't move. And it doesn't get fickled and change its mind. It gives us reason for being here. The reason why we'll all be here again and again as well. Because we need to have our sins forgiven, and God does so in this place. We can celebrate, and yes, even get emotional about what our Lord has done. Yet what He did is way different from any mere feeling. It forms the greatest reality in heaven and on earth. And this reality is sung in the book of Revelation. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you are ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation." The repentant believer takes refuge in this God-made reality. We do so when we pray, "But deliver us from evil." The world, you see, remains an evil place where our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And trust me, he especially likes to target those who have come to faith. Yet we have on our side the crucified and risen Christ. No wonder we love it when we read Paul's words in Romans 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God, you see, who justifies. Who is to condemn?" You see, it remains thoroughly realistic for us to expect that God will answer our prayers for a blessed end. And He does, because He gives us a blessed beginning. He has not only given us the prayer, but He has promised to hear it. He has not only given us the means, but He has promised to work through them. In baptism, there we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. And there the blood of Christ covers every last sin of ours, so that we can stand redeemed before God in right relationship with our Father as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Having then learned the faith and confessed the faith, we are then welcomed to the table of the Lord. And there we receive again Jesus, His very body and blood in with and under. That which was crucified and died and rose again on the third day is given for you and for me, so that we too will rise again on the last day. Christ has transformed the coldness, the hardest reality, into the brightest and most blessed one. By His death, He alone has destroyed death, and He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has brought you and me into His new creation by the power of His word, not the fickleness of our feelings. So may we join our Lord in praying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, even as we want to say today, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For it is the reason that we cry out, Hosanna. Jesus does indeed save us. Not by conquering Romans or Jews, but by conquering sin, death, and the devil for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.